The Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to this edition of the Demolition Derby Podcast. Got wrapped up doing too many things there. Episode number 286 on deck. Excited to have you along for the ride tonight. We got Mike Maxton coming on to talk a little bit about his first win in the Limited Well Division. We've also got Paul Cox coming on to talk about what he's got planned here for the mid part of the summer, and then coming up looking into the fall. Then we're going to be talking with Nate Middendorf on the heels of his win over there at Bird Island in the Trucks Division. So lots to get to. Tons of action while we were gone. Real quick, wanted to mention Wade Farner. It's his birthday today. He has bought himself an ADR drag racing motor for his birthday. It's a beautiful piece. He's going to have a lot of fun running that next year up and down the strip. Wade, of course, we've seen him run the number 35 Cadillacs in and around Pennsylvania. Made a couple trips to Virginia, so happy birthday to him. And then also a little bit later on, we're going to touch on Steerface Racing and their efforts at the Herkimer Fair. Home track show for them, and there's always a lot of tension and rivalry going on track at that one. They were able to pull down something like 7 wins out of 14 heats that ended up hitting the track, so it was a pretty good weekend for them. So a lot of stuff to hit on, and before we get too deep into the show, just wanted to make mention of this Derby tragedy that has befell us unexpectedly on Sunday in Deer Lodge, Montana. It was the Powell County Fairgrounds. Unfortunately, one car hit another. The second car that was struck lost control. There's a couple of reports of hung throttle. I don't know for sure. It ended up clearing a barrier. If you haven't heard about this, look it up. There's a lot of information. I saw the information shared on Candace Joe's page. She is the hub of all things Demolition Derby. Information-wise, very sad situation. An EMT ended up losing her life, and then a number of fans were injured. This is supposed to be an entertainment sport, but there's very real inherent dangers in all forms of motorsport, and unfortunately it was a bystander that was caught up in the ruckus and all that over there. I'm sure the promoters are ailing, the fan base is ailing, the Derby community over there, certainly heavy hearts all around, a lot of guilt for everybody, I'm sure. There has been a GoFundMe page that was set up for Darylin, who was the EMT that was killed. If you follow the links on Candace's Facebook page, Domination Motorsports, Candace Joe, she's got links to all that stuff, the main story. We'll put it up after the show as well, and you can find links to the GoFundMe page to help out that situation out there. But again, thoughts with all those folks in Deer Lodge, Montana, at the Powell County Fairgrounds out there. Unfortunate situation transpiring on Sunday, but hopefully we come together, support that family as we always do, and we emerge from a little bit stronger than we went into it. It's a tough way to start the show, but I wanted to get that out there at the top so that everybody knew what was happening if you weren't fully up to speed on that. This will be likely the final Tuesday for the summer schedule. We should be back on pace coming up after we get through Labor Day next week. We'll be on a Monday because I got to travel to Georgetown, Delaware on that Tuesday to go work with MAV TV and Matt Thomas and that crew. We're going to go down there and help on a production at the Georgetown Speedway with the Short Track Super Series. So we will be on a Monday next week, and then after the Labor Day holiday, we'll be back on a regular Monday schedule. Michael Maxton is waiting in the wings right now. He earned his first win at the Coffeyville, Kansas Demolition Derby. I think we talked about Coffeyville last year as well, with another guy finally breaking through for a win there. This one came in the Limited Weld ranks. Michael, man, first and foremost, congratulations. Finally getting that win. How nice did that feel?
Oh, it felt pretty good. Only been chasing it for about 15 years.
So you were due or were you overdue?
Felt like I was overdue. I was always finishing top three or here lately anyways, and finally pulled it off.
Our first exposure to Michael was when you were driving with Team Pink and Black. Ultimately, the team became known as the No-Namers. We met you out there at Blizzard Bash, and then you came to the booth, and we had an interview there. You guys had a pretty decent run. You shifted teams a couple times through there, so certainly no slouch when it comes to heavy hitting. Kansas is known for its deep pools and driver talent. So in the limited weld side of things, I got to believe that you probably didn't have an easy walk to the win.
No, not really. The top three cars, even my car, were all old iron GMs, so two Cadillacs and a Chevy wagon.
Are you allowed to run anything other than old iron GMs out there?
No, we can run Vicks and anything, except Imperials are kind of banned, right, and some Suicide Lincolns.
It just seems like the central part of the country never runs out of old iron GMs, no matter how bleak the outlook. There's always more wagons and more Cadillacs and more Chevys and more Buicks that keep coming out of the woodwork and keep getting wrecked in Demolition Derby action.
Oh, yeah, they're still out there.
How close have you been before in terms of, you know, let's talk about Coffeyville itself. You were talking about chasing this thing for the better half of two decades now, trying to get there in victory lane. And I'm assuming that means that your entire career, right? Not just Coffeyville.
Yeah. I've got second place at Coffeyville twice.
Yeah.
Lost to Jimmy Johnson a couple years ago.
Which is nothing to hang your head about, really.
No, and I got Mad Dog also, so I wasn't too disappointed with that.
So in terms of Coffeyville and what you've got to look at in terms of your hometown derby, is this a hometown win?
My hometown derby is Oswego, Kansas.
Okay.
The best I ever did over there was third.
Right. So, I mean, you had to travel a little bit to get this one, but nonetheless, you finally put it in victory lane. Take me through what the day was like, what the car build was like, and what led us up to the point where you're able to finally collect one of those oversized novelty checks. I think it said it was worth $1,600.
Yeah. The car actually was an old pre-ran from Blizzard Bash a couple years ago, a 74 Caddy.
Okay.
And I cut it up, played off, and firewall, change spindles, stuff like that, because it was an old national side weld car.
Sure.
And I mean, the day started out pretty good, except it'd been raining here the past 2 days, so I knew it was going to be a muddy mess.
Mm-hmm.
And pits were pretty muddy.
Was your division a one and done, or did you have to contest heats first?
It was just a one and done. There was 11 limited world cars altogether.
Right. How many of those were old Blizzard Bash cars? Handful?
I don't think any of them were. One ran at Capital City Carnage.
Okay.
It
which
was,
is still
old 98, I think.
Right, which is still heavier than anything that we see out here. You know, the Capital City Carnage build, even though it's described as a limited weld, is still heavier than anything we see out here on the East Coast,
right,
if you put limited weld side by side. So certainly a stout entry unto itself. I just can't believe the amount of work that you guys are willing to put in to cut your Blizzard Bash cars apart so that you can run them in the limited weld classes and take all the plates off and take all the extra add-ons that you get to run at Blizzard Bash to go and compete on the limited weld side of things. It's basically building a second car, but you're doing the whole thing with a torch.
Yeah, the only bad thing about Blizzard Bash cars around home is there's only like one show to run them at.
Right. So you're either stuck running that one show or you cut the thing up so that you have something to run.
Right. And it wasn't a big deal to me to cut it up.
Because it's been around a while, you're tired of looking at it?
Yeah, but it's still runnable. Just need to pull it back down and run it again.
So you cut the car up, bring it over, it's a one and done. Sloppy mess in the pits. How was the track?
The track was pretty good. We didn't run till later in the derby.
Right.
They'd already scraped probably a foot and a half, 2 foot of mud off of
it
throughout the derby.
That's
we probably got 6 inches of rain or more the past 2 days.
Holy cow. So take me through the feature itself. You know, what was the pace like? Was it slow? Was it fast? Were you trying to keep up with everybody else's pace? Were you trying to be a pace setter, more on the aggressive side?
There was a little bit bit of a rivalry going on with some other guys, and right. I was just kind of trying to stay out of it.
Right.
Trying to. Usually, I mean, I drive pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew this one would probably be the show, the best chance of winning I had. So I figured I'd try to lay back and, I mean, make my hits and wait till the end.
Were you able to put any knockout shots on anybody, kind of take advantage of them being occupied with their own rivalry and pick people off here and there?
I mean, I don't know if I really took anybody out, but just trying to do wheel shots on everybody. Everybody had a pretty decent card.
Right. Well, I mean, word travels out there, so not only does everybody have a pretty decent car, but they also know how to drive. They know how to drive defensively so that they're protected. So if you get the opportunity to take the wheel shot, you got to do it, then you get out of town before they get the chance to turn around and return the favor.
Right, yep, and the last two shows I've actually switched running from three speeds to running automatics.
Okay, interesting. So
it's a little different, but... A buddy of mine built it for me down here, and it held together all the way to the end. I made the last hit, and it caught on fire. It got pretty hot.
So what's the advantage? What's the difference to running an automatic versus running a three-speed? Three-speed, I would think, gives you a little bit more control in terms of wheel spin. You can launch in different gears and stuff like that. The automatic, it's going to be a little bit more particular, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. We've had this discussion, me and my buddies, before about automatics are no good and three speeds are the best. But, I mean, I felt like I could shift gears a lot faster in that automatic. The only downfall I see in them is they just build up a lot of heat.
Right.
Get hot. I was running a air-cooled tranny cooler, but like a three-speed, and even five-speed, you don't have to have a transmission cooler.
Right. And also,
I don't know, just these last few years I've been, I mean, breaking transmission three speeds about every run I do, so I was trying to change it up, find something that's going to work.
So are you picking a gear and holding it in gear using the automatic, or are you picking a launch gear, taking off, and then letting it shift on its own?
This one, actually, they ground down the governor.
Okay.
So whatever gear I put, it's pretty much a full manual.
Okay.
I just drop it down all the way in first. He told me, he's like, if it starts wrapping out too much, just try to shift it in the second. But, I mean, everything's going so fast out there, you don't even think about trying to shift.
Right. Right. Unless you're Mike Brown. Mike Brown, we watched him on an in-car camera one time shift all the way up to, like, fourth gear. But that's a different story. A different story for a different time, right?
Oh yeah, that'd be pretty wild shifting a high speed.
So, at what point did it seem like that this was finally going to be your night? I mean, did you have that feeling when you pulled in the pits? You just thought, hey, this is something's different about today, or was there a particular point in the feature when you're all out there and the smoke starting to clear and the steam starting to blow off that, you know, maybe you got a shot at this thing?
Yeah, it got down to the heat lasted 33 minutes.
Oof. And with 11 cars.
It was a long heat. Felt like forever out there. But it got down to the three of us, and there was still, we ran another 17 minutes before it was over, and wow. So it never felt like it was going to end.
Right.
And the third place car, he was smoking pretty good. I think it was his tranny finally went out. But after he went out, I felt like it was right there at my grasp.
So you said on your last shot the transmission went out, caught on fire. Did it just overheat push everything out?
I hit the last guy, made my last hit, then I backed up, and then I tried to hit him again, just getting excited, and hold it in first and just hammer down on it, and it just finally... It just was a smoke show. I shut it off, and about that time, it just caught fire.
How close was that to your feet and your legs?
It seemed pretty close.
I would think.
I couldn't really see in the car. It was just all white smoke, and then all of a sudden, it was all red in there.
How's the automatic work with a cable shift? I mean, if being a Blizzard Bash car, I'm assuming that you didn't take any of that type of stuff out. It's not like you ran an old trunk spring down to the floor and make your own shifter going through the floorboards.
No, when I used to run at Blizzard Bash, when I ran that car, I had a 3-speed in it, actually.
Oh, right. Yeah, you said that. So,
and I always ran a push-pull shifter, just a rod. I mean,
okay.
I never tried to get anything fancy because it always worked.
Right. So you just had one of the push-pulls in that this time?
No, this automatic, I'm actually running a ski shifter.
Oh, okay.
Just it works perfect. I mean, get it adjusted right and never had any problems with it.
Very cool. I like that. So, I mean, when they finally flew the checkered flag, was it real to you? Or was it still a little...
Yeah.
Or was it still too hot to comprehend?
Yeah, it was... It all seemed pretty real. After I caught on fire, I kind of thought I was going to get screwed out at first.
Sure.
But in the driver's meeting, they told us, you get 2 fires and you're out. So, and that's what they told me. They're like, well, that was your first fire, and you'd already made contact, so... And then they gave the other guy 60 seconds, I think, to make a start his car back up, which it wouldn't, and try to make a hit. So,
what shot did you put on him that made it so he couldn't refire? Was he already stalled? Was he having trouble with the starter?
I think he was having trouble with his wires.
Yeah.
Because we hit, and then he pulled over to the side a little bit and never fired back up. And that's when I came in and tapped him, and that was it.
That's awesome. Where you said the car still just needs to be pulled down, you can run it again. Is that the plan? Are you going to sell the thing off and be done with it, or are you going to fix it and run it again?
I don't know. It's still thinking about it. I'd like to run it. It's got my first win in it. Maybe
right.
Get another one out of it.
Right. We're just parking the front lawn and showing everybody what $1,500 looks like, right?
Right.
I mean, does that novelty check, regardless of the money, does that novelty check make that 15 years worth of effort worth it?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Because they didn't start doing that around here until just, I think, last year or year before. So
sure.
Now it's even better that when you win, you get that big check.
Right. How did you get into the sport? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just, the checks are... Checks don't last near as long as the trophies, and then that big check will last a long time too.
That's for sure. How did you get into the sport as a whole?
Just always, when we were younger, always just went down to the county fair and watched, and I always wanted to do it, and going over to a friend's house where his dad used to derby, and watching old derby tapes, and
but you never had a family member that was into it ahead of you. There was nobody that was sort of the gateway. It was the buddy's dad.
My dad grew up fixing cars and restoring them.
Oh, boy.
So he's right there with me every build of the way.
Right.
Helping me. But, yeah, when we first got started, he was like, you want to go crash cars?
So is there any car that you have smashed that you and your dad have butted heads over? Like, you thought that it should be restored, and you thought that it'd be it's perfectly clean enough to go wreck?
No, he don't care.
No. And
there was the one, I mean, that he probably would have said something about, but he never did. I ran a 63 Galaxy a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really clean car. Probably could have put a motor in it and drove it.
Oh, boy. And how'd you make out with that car?
I did pretty good. I ran it a few years. I put a Crown Vic front stub in it.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
A lot of people didn't like it.
I can imagine.
It was to the rules around here, so.
What's the rest of your season look like? What else is there on the other side of this win?
I don't know. I don't live there by my dad's. That's where I build at, my dad's shop.
Sure.
And I used to live up in Ottawa, build with Jason Dials.
Yep.
But now I live down in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of hard to just work on that car that I ran this past weekend every Saturday.
Sure.
That's the only time I really had to work on it.
We going to see anywhere this fall?
I doubt it. Maybe January. Maybe go try to run down at Claremore, Oklahoma for Rob Baker.
Yeah. Rob's got an expanded footprint, too. That'll be a good show. Yeah. Give you a little bit of time to work on it, too.
Yeah, for sure. I'll probably try to go up to Blizzard Bash to watch for sure, though.
I'm trying to remember right. Did you have a brother that ran Blizzard Bash with you guys at one point?
Yeah, he ran with us 2 years.
Right.
All.
What's his derby life like at this point?
Oh, he's had the past couple of years they've had two kids, so he's kind of slowing down a lot.
Right. That'll happen, huh?
Yeah. I don't have any kids yet, so.
Right.
Still trying to keep going.
Well, I saw that come across the news feed that you had won, and I was happy to see that, especially knowing that it was your first one. Coffeyville, Kansas, no slouch, limited well division for Michael Maxton coming over with his first win and a 16-year chase, 15-year chase, $1,600 for the win. I know you mentioned that you build a lot with your dad and your brother. You know, his career slowed down a little bit given having the kids and things like that.
Family.
You mentioned your buddy built a transmission. Is there anybody else that you want to mention that helped make sure that you could get to the point that you're at where you finally had a chance to park it in Victory Lane?
Oh, yeah. Every Saturday when I'd go up there, I'd hit up my buddies and see if they'd come help me.
Yeah. It's a team sport.
None of them. Oh, yeah, for sure.
No question. It's a team sport. You catch up with Dials much anymore?
Oh, yeah, we still talk, and he sends me pictures of what he's working on.
And,
he said he's already started Blizzard Bash build, so.
I believe every word of that. You know, it's amazing the amount of time that they put into putting those cars together when you think about we're roughly, 4 months away. Some guys are probably going to take a little bit more time before they get started, but before long, all those cars for all 64 of the National Class cars are going to be started within the next, if they haven't already been started, within the next probably couple weeks.
Right.
You get much past Labor Day, you're going to be behind the eight ball for sure.
Yeah, when I was building with him, we'd try to start, middle of August.
Right. You got a lot of cars left at home?
Yeah, I got quite a few.
Well, it sounds like we're going to be talking to you more.
Usually don't sell them.
Right. If you don't sell them, you'll never get beat by them, right?
Right.
Well, they always say the first one's the hardest, so now hopefully we'll be talking to you again in the not-too-distant future, talking about wins 2 and 3, and hopefully this pace keeps up, and if nothing else, we'll probably see November down at Blizzard Bash, and we can talk a little bit more about that build going on for Baker's show in January.
Right on. Sounds good.
Michael, man, I appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us for a little while. It was good to talk to you, and congratulations on the win, man.
Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity, too.
For sure. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
See you now. A couple thoughts from Michael Maxton regarding his win over there in Coffeyville, Kansas in the limited well division. Congratulations out to him on that one. We're going to be catching up here momentarily with Paul Cox to talk a little bit about what he's been up to out there in and around Utah area. He's been plenty busy, of course, running out that way. We made a couple references to Blizzard Bash. We'll tell you a little bit about that while we get Paul on the phone here. Blizzard Bash coming up on the 6th through the 19th, the 6th through the 10th of November, Kansas Expo Center in Topeka, Kansas. November the 6th is the heat draws from 7 to 10. That's that pit party that they have every year. National qualifying team brackets will start on the 7th of November. That's the first round for both the national and qualifying teams. The second round of action for the qualifying bracket and the national side will be November the 8th, and then action really picks up on November the 9th with compact and limited weld team heats. All the Team B features, the trucks and the limited weld one and duns. Championship Sunday comes around on the 10th with all the Team A mains on the 10th online. You can find more information about that at blizzardbash.com. So Paul Cox joining us on the line right now. Appreciate Paul making some time for us. We'll drop him in so we can catch up with Paul. Paul, man, how are you? That's good. Good to talk to you here tonight. Glad you're doing well. So it looked like it was an old Thunderbird that you had out there for UTC. You got a top five finish with that, and then also got some Mad Dog honors. Tell me about that car.
Yeah, it's a 66 Seabird, kind of a rusty joker, but it held up pretty good. I think I'd build another one.
Yeah, that's a good vote of confidence.
Yeah.
Earlier this year, it looked like you were in a mid-70s Thunderbird as well. You changing over to all Fords now?
No, they're just cheap. Nobody runs them out here, so I can pick them up pretty cheap. So I run whatever I can get cheap and easy.
Sure. What's your year been like out there? I haven't talked to you in a while. I touch base with Dano every now and again, and he says everything's going well. How's the year been?
It's been pretty good. I've ran two shows so far this year. I kind of took a little off after that whole TV show craziness. So
right.
I took a little time off, built some quality cars instead of a whole bunch of cars, and ended up exact same in both cars, fifth and mid, but in both of them. So.
How tough is it out there, not so much to pick up a win, because that's pretty well documented. We know everybody drives so hard, and the cars get wadded up, and they tend to get wadded up quick, and there's not a whole lot left. You got to build a good car in order to be competitive. But how hard is it to get noticed for a Mad Dog out there? This past run was UTC, and I'm blanking now where you ran that mid-70s Thunderbird, where that was, but you got a Mad Dog with that one as well. How difficult is it to get noticed? Because if you shoot for Mad Dog and you punch yourself out too early, it's easy to get forgotten. But if you sandbag and you don't turn it up until too late, you might get overlooked. How tough is it?
Exactly. It fits my driving style pretty good. I went into both shows this year thinking that I was going to sandbag around and try to win a bunch of money. And then you get your cage rattled one time and you just start hitting people. And it's pretty tough to keep your car together long enough to finish a Utah show.
It is. I mean, we've been out there plenty of times. What kind of shape was that T-Bird in when you were done? Can you run that again?
No, it's junk, completely junk. The frame rails ripped off right in front of the A-arms in the first heat.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back into the main with a piece of 1x2 square tube holding the front bumper up. And no radiator, no nothing, and made it way farther than I should have, probably.
Well, it's better to be lucky than good, I suppose.
Exactly. Yep.
We've seen some awesome Thunderbirds get run. The one that stands out, probably the most prominent in my mind, and we're going back a long, long time. Those were the first Winter Slam that we went to back when it was at the Blue Earth County Fairgrounds when Kurt Zacharias ran it, and he won the show with a T-Bird and got Mad Dog that night. We've seen Kurt and CJ run Thunderbirds a ton of times, and nobody's really been able to come even close to what those Thunderbirds are when they come out of those particular shops. We've seen them in team shows up at Wadena and stuff, and they're always so tough. Using a Thunderbird in Utah almost seems a little bit reverse psychology. It doesn't make sense because the car's so small. It gives you that mobility, but you're so light. And the way that those cars out there are built, especially with the high prominence, the GMs, and even some of the leftover Chrysler stuff, the stuff that shows up from back in the 50s that's more along the full-size lines, are you giving up that much weight? I mean, what's the advantage besides cheap of a Thunderbird out there in Utah?
Well, just being able to move.
Yeah.
Once you get stuck on that barrier, you're in trouble. And that, I got up on the barrier one time and got locked, and then Case hit me head on and pretty much junked the front of it. It was holding strong till then, but I go with quick and maneuverable. That's what I'm into.
Well, I mean, it makes sense. You know, you look at some of the arguments about the Crown Vics versus Imperials, some of that Crown Vic versus the world stuff that Josh did up here in Morris, and it was sort of the same thing. The Crown Vic guys, the guys that were building stuff that weren't Imperials, that weren't the full-size heavy Chrysler stuff, whether it was a true Imperial or a subframe car or what have you, they were going on mobility. They were going to be able to turn the Vics around faster. They're going to be able to turn their two-door Chevys around faster and catch those the birds broadside. And I mean, it sure seems like it paid dividends for you. If nothing else, you're catching them broadside, and when you're backing away from hits, if there's carnage on the other end of that bumper, it certainly got the judge's attention.
Exactly. It just kept running. That was the only thing about it. It banned a whole bunch, but it always started up and threw it away. So.
Did it stall a lot on you? I mean,
I was having some problems with a fuel pressure regulator. That's finally what took me out. It wouldn't get fuel. I was beating on it during the show, and it had get a little fuel and fire up and run again, and that's what took me out was the pressure regulator.
Do you run two fuel pumps on those? I mean, hang on, let's back that up. What motor was in it?
That was the motor out of my truck, just a 383 I built at my house. So.
And I'm trying to remember now because I don't. Do you run methanol on that or just regular gas?
It's running 110 in it, but.
So race fuel.
Yep. And I'm pretty cheap, but that's what cost me. It was just a cheap eBay pump and regulator, and that's what cost me probably fourth place out of it was that. So.
Do you run two fuel pumps on your setups to get the fuel in and get the fuel back out?
Nope, I just run a single fuel pump. Pretty simple setup.
Yeah, it seemed pretty straightforward, but the when the regulator was acting up on you, what's going through your mind when you're on track when that's happening? It seems like it's one of those things where you know you're going to be able to rebound, but for those 2-3 seconds it takes where you're holding still and the floppers on the stacks aren't moving and everybody on the planet can know that you're holding still and you're stalled, you're sitting duck in the middle of the track.
For sure, and in the main, I didn't have any steering really, so I was really in trouble. So, yeah, it was pretty bad to know that, but luckily there were some other guys that were drawing some pretty good heat, so I got out of the race with them.
Did at any point, you know, you alluded to the fact that you got your cage rattled and it took you out of that whole "I'm going to win tonight" mindset into "I'm going to go win a Mad Dog Award tonight," change gears and force that shift again. Was there any point where, as the feature wore on, before you got to the point where the switch had flipped, where you thought maybe you still had a shot at winning it?
No, pretty much it got flipped in the heat. I ruined the front of my car in the heat and knew that when I went back in there, I was looking for someone that I didn't want to win, basically. What was happening? I thought I had one or two good hits, and I was going to try to ruin somebody else's night.
Right. Yep, wheels, tires, axles, and do everything you can.
Yep, exactly.
So what's a Mad Dog pay compared to most of those derbies out there are paying in excess of $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. What was the Mad Dog worth?
It was pretty lame, really. It was only $500.
Both times?
Yeah. Well, St. George, I actually got $2,500 out of that one.
Yeah.
But UTC was pretty lame. Mad Dog, I got $500 and a big old gift certificate. Yeah.
Did they
pay for heats and fifth place and stuff. So I ended up coming home with like $4,000. So it worked out.
That should at least pay for the Thunderbirds, right?
Oh, yeah. It paid for a $500 car for sure.
The TV show, how did that go? It seemed like that took up a big part of your derby plans for 2019.
You know, it was actually really fun, and it turned out good. If they would have just followed through with their end and paid us all, it would have been awesome.
Right. That, oh boy. So,
exactly.
So what do we do with that?
Ain't much you can do with it. We all got screwed. That's pretty much what happened.
Right. I'm sorry to hear that. I mean, it certainly doesn't help the situation when your Mad Dogs aren't delivering the way that you're expecting them to either. Does that give you the chance then to take a little bit of time, regroup, and look forward to the fall? I know I saw some posts on your thread there from your New York evil twin, Dan Bolton, saying that maybe you guys were going to be together again this fall. What's that all about?
Yeah, I think he's going to come out and help me in Vegas a little bit. He hasn't made his mind up for sure, but I think he's going to come out and help fit a little bit in the Vegas show for me.
I talked to him earlier tonight, and it sounded like his mind was pretty well made up.
Well, I hope so. I hope that I need the help for sure. It's going to be crazy trying to keep a car together for 3 days.
Right.
Keep them together for one night, so.
Do you have a car selected yet for that?
Yeah, it's going to be another old Ford.
Yeah. Old Ford along the lines of like a Galaxy or one of the Country Squire wagons, or is it old Ford like Thunderbird?
No, it's going to be a Lincoln of some sort of variety.
Nice.
I think you're still like that. You got to build something you're pretty familiar with and comfortable with. And
sure.
That's what I built the most of, so that's what's going to go.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
How about the truck? Is there any truck still around? Is there any of that in your future?
I got lots of trucks in my yard. I just can't get anyone in Utah to get a set of rules picked out and stick with them. I'm not in the whole kickers and building something that never bends. I think the crowd wants to see stuff that bends and moves, and it doesn't hurt as bad when you're driving it either.
Right. Well, there's something to be said for that too. It's still an entertainment sport, And there's the Derby diehards that love the kickers, that love the cars that are ultra hard that you can invest tons of time in, and all this exotic welding and worrying about geometries and find the aftermarket parts and put a good stout motor in and go run 16 times. But that's at the top end of that Derby diehard bell curve. That's way, way over here. And in the middle of that, you've got the casual fan that might only go to a handful of Derbies through the course of the year, and some might only go to one. And they're used to seeing what the Derby was back in the 80s and 90s, where after a car gets hit, it's dented and it's bent. You know, the trunks are hanging off of them, the whale tail, the bumpers are up to the window, the front bumpers are wrapped on the carburetor, there's steam and there's smoke and there's flat tires, all this other to-do, and that's what a demolition Derby is supposed to be to them. And when that's not there, they start wondering what exactly their entertainment dollar was spent on. And yep, and when your entertainment when your entertainment drops off in disproportion to your build rules going up, it starts putting the whole business model in trouble.
Yep, I don't mind being able to run good parts so you can bend them up and still be able to run. But they're just gotta find a better line before I start building trucks again. It lost its fun, actually.
So what do you want to see in a truck? I mean, my frame of reference for similar to what you're discussing, in terms of stern dirt, rather, when they've got their rules for the farm truck class. Is that sort of what you're talking about, or are you a little bit more build?
The farm class is pretty close, really. If they would let you put a good rear end in them and maybe even bend the bed sides down, it's not a must, but something along those lines, and then just enforce the rules so that you know you're pretty close to everyone else when you get there that night.
Sure. What do you mean by a good rear end? A good rear end in the Midwest versus a good rear end out here versus a good rear end out there, it's three very different things. Are you talking about...
Like a brace 14 bolt. I don't need like a Postal Mopar or anything like that. Just something that's not going to get broken half in a couple of hits from the truck.
Right. So I mean, you're still talking about rear ends that theoretically you can go find at the junkyard and brace up a little bit on your own.
Yep, exactly.
Right on. Well, I don't. So what's the downfall? I mean, are the other builders not really on board with that? They want to get more than one run out of their trucks. Is that what the disconnect is?
Well, technically, honestly, I think I screwed up a long time ago. Everyone thought I was running the same truck all of the time. And I wasn't. They weren't seeing the multiple frames I was putting under that thing every other weekend because it was junk and then straightening it out. And so everyone just started building and building, and then they quit inspecting and they were just checking for safety, and it's way overboard now.
Nice job, Paul. Way to go.
I know, right? Screwed up a good thing.
You excited about Vegas?
I am, actually. I think it's going to be fun. I don't exactly know how to deal with it. I've never been on like a team aspect like that, so hopefully I can keep a car together and not let a team down.
Who's on the team this year?
Brad Bowman, Nick Wolf, and I can't remember the other guy's name.
You guys are gonna lose. Forget about keeping the car together. You guys are going to lose a car a day. You guys got to draw straws and say, okay, you guys just don't run tonight because all the guys that you have are heavy hitters. You're going to wire your stuff up in the first night.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, I don't know exactly how that's going to go down, but we're going to figure it out for sure.
Just bring extra body panels, lots of welders, lots of cutters.
Yeah, we're going to have plenty of that. This is in November, and it won't be 1,000 degrees down there.
So. Right. Yeah, that'll certainly help too. We got to get Nate Middendorf on here a little bit to talk a little bit more about trucks. We're going to kind of extend the conversation that you just had there about what works out there, what you'd like to see in Utah. But on top of that, before we shift gears, I know there's people that help make sure that you get out there, whether it's a car, truck, or otherwise. Anybody you want to make mention of?
Just my boys this year. That's pretty much all that's been in the shop with me, my two boys. And they pretty much welded the entire outer seams of both my cars, and they made it possible this year.
Awesome. It sounds pretty good.
Yep.
How long before they're in cars, right?
They're running mini cars already. So yeah. One of them's going to get a junk one this year, and one's still figure eight racing. So.
Nice. Well, enjoy that time, and keep in touch as he gets closer to Las Vegas. Let us know how it goes. And if you end up doing a pop-up show any place, let us know how you make out.
Sounds good. Will do.
Paul, always good to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right. We'll see you. Bye.
See you now. Paul Cox. We got Nate Middendorf coming up here in just a minute, but before we do that, we do need to hit on one order of business here. We're going to get all this stuff out of the way. Because Smash It Demolition Derbies, they've got a couple Demolition Derby events coming up here in and around Ohio. Once again, their season continuing to press on. The gauntlet that they do every year, moving towards its conclusion as we get closer to September the 1st. Online, smashitderby.com has a full schedule. August the 21st, which is tomorrow. They do have a derby tonight. Tomorrow is the Portage County Fair in Randolph, Ohio. 7 o'clock start time there. Smash It Leaf class, the mini cars, the full-size trucks, youth class, and the power wheels on deck at Portage County. On the 24th of August, it's Dark County Fair in Greenville, Ohio. 7 o'clock start. Yep, I'll be with you. Power wheels start at 6:30. The rest of the show starts at 7. Any year pro stock, 80s and newer street stocks, wire mini cars, the Smash It mini cars, 4 and 6 cylinder only, no V8s, and the power wheels on deck for Dark County. And then September the 1st, kicking off Labor Day weekend, a busy weekend for Smash It, is the Stark County Fair in Canton, Ohio, 7 o'clock start time. It's the Smash It Leaf class, the mini cars, the full-size truck, stock wire class, and the power wheels. Additional upcoming events available online at smashitderby.com. Nate Middendorf on the phone. Nate? We'll get you plugged in. Nate, man, how are you?
Pretty good, yourself?
I'm doing all right, man. Congratulations on the win. I was excited to see that.
Thanks.
That's, I'm trying to remember, and forgive me if I don't. First truck win?
No.
No, okay. Well, anyway, it was at Bird Island, and the truck looked like it was pretty wore out, and it was all because of the roof sign, right?
Yeah, all because of the roof sign.
It was Jared Fisher's roof sign that was on it, correct?
Yeah, he welded it on for two runs before that, and I just was too rushed for time to cut it off for the last one, and it was pretty good luck for that one, so I just left it on for this one.
How many wins does that truck have now?
I have no idea.
It's been around for a while.
Yeah, built it in 2015, and just keep on running it.
So take me through Bird Island as a whole. Bird Island has a reputation of being a pretty hard derby. We were out there several years ago when Josh and I went up and stayed with Jesse Keel. Josh got to drive in the Weld class out there. I mean, real, real solid stuff coming through Bird Island.
Yeah, it was. There's me and Johnny were running the two trucks out of our shop. Jared didn't have one this year, but. So we had those two trucks, and then there's Brandon Wensauer was running a hard truck that was brand new or fresh, and then Blake Cope was driving his truck that he's been running this year, and they're no slouches on builders. They're definitely hard trucks. So kind of came down to us four-ish, and then there's two squishy ones.
Mm-hmm.
There's a van and a Durango out there that I nosed the Durango right away because I wasn't scared of it, and then drove around and tried to drive smart as I could with the struggle that I had, and yeah, just ended up working out for me, taking off Blake's front wheel, so he was out, and then got a lucky catch of Brandon's back wheel and tore his whole 9-inch right up.
Jeepers. It's always a violent one out there at Bird Island. You're not necessarily going to have 60 trucks on track at one time, but the ones that are out there, it can get pretty vicious. Certainly some carnage. That's one of the things that Paul Cox was just hitting on, and we were talking with him about the state of trucks in his neck of the woods over there in Utah. Is he sort of misled everybody because he was running through frames so frequently, but it looked like he was running the same truck over and over again. So the push was to get the kickers, to get the heavy stuff, so that you can run a truck multiple times versus where Paul wants to be. He'd rather see everything go back the direction more along the lines of, for their region, it was the farm truck. It was sort of like when they lightened the rules up at Winter Slam a couple years ago for what the trucks were. Where does this truck build fall? I mean, I can't even remember now what's underneath it and what the combinations were. It's been around for so long. What's in this truck now, and where does it fall?
As far as frame-wise, it's the same frame it's been in it the whole time. It's just an Explorer. It's a, it's a mini truck, so it's not a real, not a full-size truck.
Right.
We run mini trucks out here, and we have full-size trucks as well. But so I built it for Blizzard Bash in 2015, the modified compact, and that's the rule set that it's built to. It's not overly plated. It's not crazy. I don't even have a real tank protector in the thing. It's more of a tank holder.
Right.
No kickers, nothing crazy like that. It's just I like to hit the soft parts of the trucks and try to avoid the nose-to-nose shots.
So is that where the truck build needs to be in order to make the playing field more universal? I mean, you see what happened with some of the cars. If you make everything even, one group of cars ends up having an advantage. It might be the mid-50s Chevys, mid-70s Chevys. It might be the two-door Chevys. It might be the roundbacks, whatever you have. But everybody starts saying, well, you're catering to this side, you're catering to that side. Does that happen with the trucks where you are?
Well, out here right now, we're kind of in a weird spot. I feel like there isn't really a rule set. It's more of it's not overly plated. It's not massive. It's not this or that. You should be good.
Right.
And they're actually looking at, in some places, allowing V8s in the mini trucks now, too. So, I mean, that's a totally different ballgame.
Sure.
Considering we're all running cradles, so then they get cradles. So now what's that going to entail? Is it going to build a whole new style of truck because you can add pressure in that amount, like with a V8 being such a big motor? I don't know. It's going to be kind of crazy next year.
I mean, you're the builder type.
People come out with.
You're the builder type. Seeing something come along the lines where they allow the V8s, and by allowing the V8s in the mini trucks, I'm assuming that they mean V8 Explorers. Are we talking about full-size trucks? What's that distinction mean?
Well, they're just going to allow V8s in mini trucks in just some places, so, yeah.
So, I mean, you're sort of the builder type. You like to get into a build and make it as strong as possible. Would you prefer something that was more advertised as a tank holder and put a good rear end underneath it and let you go crazy and you're blowing through a couple trucks a year? Do you want something that's a little bit beefier that lets you swap a rear end but also put a cradle in it and start toying a little bit with pressures?
I mean, I like the fact that I haven't had to rebuild a truck in 4 years now, 3 years now.
Right.
It's nice, but I don't want to end up with the 10,000-pound mini truck out there that's, you know, plated front to back, and then you have kickers here and kickers there, and you get, you know, it just turns into a modified, like,
right,
like, tank class. It's just,
sure,
it's nuts. But at least now you still have, like, I don't feel my truck is overbuilt at all, but I know I can take anything that's out there that is stock. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just, I don't think that, I think if you get too crazy with it, then you're not going to have those guys trying to class out, and you kind of need that.
Yep.
I don't know.
I agree. I mean, if you don't have new people coming in, it's just a matter of beating up on everybody you know, and then nobody wants to hit anybody, and now there's hurt feelings, now more people are leaving that division, and now what have you got? You're down to running a field of 4, 5, 3 trucks, depending on where you go, and that's not good. That's not good for the sport at all.
Yeah, and that's kind of how it is right now, even. So I don't know what's going to happen when they go overboard next year with the V8s, if it's going to hurt it or if it's not. You know, because there's V8 guys who want to get into the Mighty Minis because they can just take their motor and put it in there, and then there's, I don't know, you know, then you have more people that way who are derby people who want to build trucks, but the person who is going to just build a truck in a weekend or whatever is probably not going to want to do that.
Sure. I mean, you made reference to the Durango, and you weren't scared of him. You knew you could go nose to him right away, and you stood him right up, and that was it. You know, is that the kind of guy that you're at risk of losing?
Well, yeah. That's what I'm exactly saying.
Was there any point where you thought maybe this one was going to get away from you, or was this your night from the get-go?
Yeah, it seemed like I was going to lose it the whole time to me because I was having issues the whole time with my steering, and then my gas pedal was shifting or sticking because I actually wore out an NLR cable. From 2015, my cable finally went bad. So it was sticking down.
That's a lot of
and
shifting.
And then my starter was going to crap on me, so I knew I couldn't kill it. But it was just me and Johnny at the end, and I pulled up behind him, and so somehow I killed it. And so I had to actually pull my ignition and my fuel off because my battery is so drained, it won't even fire the starter. And then I had to sit there and wait for the starter to actually work before I could put the ignition back on to start the truck back up.
Wow.
It was a pain in the ass. All without getting hit by Johnny because he had no steering, and but I had the last hit. So
yeah, so
ended up getting it fired up and then nicked him, and that was about it.
It sounds like you had about 60 seconds to play with him not having any steering.
Yeah, it was about that, yeah. He went back and forth a couple times, I think, and that was about it.
Well, I'm happy you got that win. What else does the year hold for you? I mean, we got to, we're only, for you, we're only about halfway through the Derby season, because you run just about year-round.
It seems like it nowadays. it sounds like I'm going to try to run the truck at Corcoran, and then I have to pull the transmission out for Blizzard Bash. We're starting on cutting up the cars now so that we can start working on the Blizzard Bash cars.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll do that, and then I have to come back and either run my Blizzard Bash Camaro again in Nebraska with Scott Mulder, or I have to build a new car. So we're going to do the Kearney, Nebraska team show.
Okay. And that's after Blizzard Bash?
That's in February.
Oh, okay.
So kind of like the next build.
Gotcha. We're looking way in the future. You said you're cutting cars up. You've got the car that you had at Capital City Carnage, which was previously a car that's seen a couple tours of duty. Is that the car that's getting cut up in order to feed the Blizzard Bash ride this year?
Yeah, it's getting cut up.
It's a little disappointing to hear. I thought that still had 6 or 7 runs in it.
It could easily get ran again, but I need the metal.
Sure, I get it. So we're talking like tank protector, equipment, motor too, or no?
The motor's at the builder right now.
Yeah. Is this transmission going to get gone through once more?
The transmission's going to just get put right on the motor.
Yeah.
It's running good, shifting good, no issues, so.
What transmission is that?
Take it out of the brace and check it out, that'd be a lot of it.
What transmission is that now?
The 4.3 speed.
Gotcha.
Not fancy.
No.
What works.
That's 100% true. Team Intact then for Blizzard Bash, it sounds?
What was that?
Is the team staying intact then for Blizzard Bash by the sounds of things?
Yeah. Yeah, all four of us are coming back. We wanted to... We felt we had a couple issues. We got them ironed out, and we're gonna go for it this year. So,
if anything, could you learn anything from what the Capital City Carnage car did that will give you anything to apply to the build at Blizzard Bash?
Not a whole lot. I mean, you saw it. I drove the car off the trailer. It wasn't, or I drove it onto the trailer. It wasn't junk.
No, not at all.
The only thing is it made me want to modify my cradle a little bit, but other than that, it's just keep kind of doing what we're doing and just make things a little more reliable.
Well, that's closer to the vein that I was shooting for with that. Is I'm not so much questioning the way that you put the car together, not questioning the durability of the car in any way. I mean, that's been demonstrated time and time again. I've seen you run probably close to a dozen times now at different places around the United States. The durability isn't the question, but you said that there was some problems that you think you got some solutions for, and I was wondering if there's anything that you're able to hit on without getting overly specific, because if you say yes, I'll get specific then. If there's anything that you're able to test out or solve, either at Capital City Carnage with the same car or by running throughout the summer?
The only thing that really solidified Capital was that I liked the front tires I ran.
I remember that conversation, yeah.
So, I mean, they worked out for me. I think they're ugly, but ugly works, so we're right. Gonna run ugly.
If it was a beauty pageant, it'd be a car show, not a demolition derby, right?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, other than that, it's get a little bit more bolder with some of pushing the gray areas on things, trying some different things. It's just now that we know the rule set, we know the inspector.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't be. We drive 8 hours away. We're not going to come there with plated frames or blended frames or whatever is going on with cars.
Right.
I'm not going to play that game because I'm driving it 8 hours. I am going to run that car there.
Right. So, I get it. I understand that. I think it's really cool that you're going to be teaming up to run that Nebraska show. I mean, we're looking, you know, several months away now, but teaming up with Scott Muller, that's cool.
Yeah, it should be a good time. So he was messaging me today talking about the cars we're going to run, and I was like, come on now, we got Blizzard Bash first, and then we can work on this, you know?
Right on.
Yeah, okay.
It never stops. It never stops.
No, it's all day long what's going on in my mind. You know, sitting at work, I'm a designer from Scientific, and I got all sorts of crap just running through my mind as I'm working. And just in there, I have to stop myself. Oh, this is work time. Like, the best can wait. Derby can wait. Gotta keep going.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Anybody that you want to make mention of? I know you mentioned that NLR shifter held up for you for 4 years. That was pretty cool to hear. And I anticipate you probably got some of Mike's equipment on those rides coming up.
Yeah, I got basically all my drivetrain stabilizer equipment. My axle I built myself. Hansen driver slider shafts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any John Muse stuff in my Blizzard Bash car other than some ball joints, but yeah, there's a lot of money in that thing.
Yeah.
That's
for sure. But it certainly would make for some interesting off-season conversation if you guys could knock off the compact Cadillacs, then have to go team with them a few months later.
Yeah. That was something I was thinking about the other day. I was like, what if we draw Scott and Kevin and Shay and Ben?
Yeah.
I was telling Jared, I was like, I'm going to walk right up to Scott. I'm going to tell him, you know, it's a real shame I'm going to have to jump my car on you, but we'll see what happens.
Right. We'll be watching that draw with interest as it gets closer, and certainly the rest of your runs here with the truck this season. We wish you the best of luck. Keep in touch on how that goes, and be safe building those cars, and we look forward to seeing you in November, if not before.
Sounds good.
Nate, always good to talk to you, man. Congratulations on the win.
Yep, have a good one.
You too. We'll see you later.
Bye.
Getting to the top of the hour here on episode number 286. Once again, we're going to be back on the air next Monday, preceding the track back down to Georgetown, Delaware for one of the short track super series events. That's the circle track. It's racing. Perhaps some of you follow that as well. That'll be on the air. Dirt Track Digest TV going to be working on that one along with Mav TV. So hopefully we'll see Brian back in here. This is a tough time of year for him with football. It's all chaotic, his schedule. So flying solo this evening, but looks like we were able to pretty sufficiently cover all of our bases. Once again, Sear Face Racing, what an effort they did. Hometown fair for them. They met up at Pop's place as tradition. Todd Height losing his grandfather, which was the traditional starting point for the parade for Sear Face Racing over to the Herkimer Fairgrounds. They went there. They brought, I think they still have 7 cars that are runnable. So I think in total they might have brought something like 14 vehicles over there with the trucks and the team show. It was cool to hear that Justin Hartman, the Hartman boys, who they've been on the show before. They had that their show a couple years ago up at the, I think it was the Boonville Oneida County Fairgrounds that they had early in the spring a couple years ago. He ended up making the trip down there and ran with one of the teams there. Sear Face Racing, second place in the team show, made all sorts of junk, and Humps able to celebrate his wedding in style with some success over there at the Herkimer County Fairgrounds. Again, good runs for Sear Face Racing, something like 7 wins or 8 wins out of 14 heats that were on the track. It was a pretty good night for those guys. So congratulations to them and to all the drivers that we had on the show tonight. Mike Maxton coming away with his first win, Paul Cox coming away with some Mad Dog Awards, and Nate Middendorf coming away with the win as well. Traversing the country this evening, and again, we'll post the link. Our thoughts continue to be with the folks in Deer Lodge, Montana. Again, Deer Lodge, Montana, the Powell County Fairgrounds, where that mishap with a car getting through the berm and got into the crowd ended up killing one of the emergency crew representatives. It was on the sidelines. There is a GoFundMe account that's out there for them. Thoughts with that family, and hopefully they can bond together and get past this and move forward. And again, final note, happy birthday to Wade Farner. Enjoy that drag motor, buddy. That's going to do it for us here on the Crash Course. We appreciate everybody tuning in and hanging out with us for number 286. We'll be back with 287 next week. We're looking forward to it. We will see everybody out there again next time. That's going to do it for us here at the North Park Building at Academy Square.
Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FigureLinks1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.